All right, so we didn't get to get together last week because of the snow and the ice. So tonight we are continuing and finishing all at once our series on relationships. And I'm really excited for tonight because I think this is a message that is so vital for us to internalize and know no matter what age we are. It's so, so important that we understand what we're going to talk about tonight. But if you remember a couple weeks ago when we were together, we talked about how you are whole and complete and loved just the way you are. You don't need another person to make you whole. God created you as a whole person just the way you are. And so sometimes we take that and we say, okay, well, I don't need anybody else. But the truth is that relationships, friendships, dating relationships, marriages, those can all be incredible things when we understand that we are whole in and of ourselves, and we can have another whole person or another group of whole people that come alongside us and do life with us, and that can be an absolutely incredible thing. And so tonight we're going to build off of that truth. We are whole just the way we are. And the way we're going to build off of that is that as we step into relationships or as we evaluate our current relationships that we are a part of, we have to understand this truth, that we are worthy of true love. You are worthy of true love. I am worthy of true love. Valentine's Day was last week. And, you know, the month of February, there's always hearts everywhere, and it's all about love and relationships. And so often when we hear the words true love and we think about true love, we often automatically associate those words with a dating or romantic relationship. But the truth of the matter is it's important to recognize that love is a broad term that applies to every single relationship that we are a part of. And in every single relationship that you are a part of, you are worthy of true love. In your relationship with your friends, in your relationship with your parents, in your relationship with authority figures, in your relationships when you are dating, in every single relationship that you are a part of, you are worthy of true love. In John chapter 13, Jesus is sitting with his disciples and he's having what we call the Last Supper. It's the time where he celebrated the Passover, which was this feast that he celebrated yearly, and he's celebrating this with his disciples, and a lot of incredible things happen at this meal. This was the meal that was the final meal that he had with his disciples before he went to the cross. And at this meal, a lot of incredible things happen, but one of the things that sticks out in my mind is when Jesus expresses to the disciples the way that they should love other people. He says this in John chapter 13. He says that, little children, I am with you for a little while longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jewish leaders, I also tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other. Now, here's this incredible thing that happens in John chapter 13, is that a lot of times we read this verse, and more often than not, I have read this verse, and I've said, you know what? Jesus is exactly right. I have got to go out and I've got to love people better. I've got to be a better husband. I've got to be a better father. I've got to be a better friend. I've got to be a better worker. I've got to be a better leader. Everybody that I'm around, I've just got to love them better. And the cool thing about what Jesus is saying in this verse is that he is expressing that, yes, we should love others better, but he is also expressing the love that you deserve to receive from other people. He's expressing in this moment that, yes, we should love other people, but he's also expressing this idea that we are deserving of this kind of love. we are deserving of this incredible, true love. And see, I think so often we focus on this idea of how can I love people better, but when it comes to how others love us, we tend to give them a pass. And we say, well, you know, I don't really deserve that. I don't really deserve that kind of love. Or, yeah, they said some things that they shouldn't have said, but really, you know, I deserved to be treated like that. And we tend to give people a pass when they treat us poorly and they don't love us well. And Jesus is saying that there is an expectation here that this is the love that not only we should love others with, but this is the love that we deserve to receive. This is the kind of love that goes out and changes people's lives. This is the kind of love that will impact your own heart and draw you in closer to Jesus. And so here's the big question. What does that kind of love look like? What does that kind of love look like? What does that kind of love look like for that we should be receiving from the people around us, that we should be giving to the people around us? And so Jesus says, love others as I have loved you. And so we got to start looking at the way that Jesus loved other people. And the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John share the story of Jesus. And I love just digging into the life of Jesus and seeing how he loved the people around him. Jesus took 12 guys and called them his group of friends. We know them as his disciples, but I think that if we were alive during that time, we would have recognized this is a really tight-knit, close group of friends. And we can see that as we read through the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see time and time again that Jesus loved these guys with a true love. Jesus taught these guys how to stretch themselves and grow themselves, and he encouraged them to become better versions of themselves. He trained them how to go out and share his message. He trained them how to become better people. But at the same time, he wasn't just all about making them better people. He took time away when the crowds were demanding, and he said, listen, go rest. If you look at Jesus' friendships, he made sure that they were becoming better versions of themselves, but he also made sure that they were well taken care of. Jesus loved with a love that encouraged his friends. And guys, what if, as we look at our own friendships, we evaluated, how do my friends treat me? Our friends should be encouraging us to be better people. True love looks like pointing out when, you know, maybe we could do things a little bit better. But true love also looks unselfish and looks like really caring for you as a person. True love celebrates with you when things are going well. They cry with you when things are going poorly. They're there for you in the good times and the bad times. And yes, they do help you become better people. But true love also says, listen, I'm here for you. They truly listen and make you feel heard. But friendship isn't the only relationship where we're worthy of experiencing true love. And I think that oftentimes that's where we go to. We say, yeah, my friends, man, they gotta love me well, and we get that. Like, we're all on board for that. But when we start digging into some of these other relationships where we are worthy of true love, it gets a little bit more tricky. In Matthew 19, Jesus is teaching to the crowds. And as expected, when there's crowds there's little children around. And Matthew 19 says, then the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. And guys, so often we read the Bible and we're like very stoic about it. Like, we read this verse and we're like, children, come to Jesus. I lay hands on you. I pray for you. Children, go away. Like, this is the way we read the Bible. But having four kids myself, I recognize there is no possible way that that is how this went down. I realize that there's probably one of two ways that this happened. Probably the first way that this could have happened is that the whole family is on the way to hear Jesus teach. And the parents are like, guys, aren't you just so excited to hear Jesus teach? Like, this is going to be an incredible day. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Have any of your parents ever said that? We got to experience this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so they bring the kids, and the whole way there, they're like, what do you think he's going to talk about? What do you think Jesus is going to say? Aren't you excited to see Jesus? And they get there, and the kids are just pumped because their parents have gotten them excited to see Jesus. And they realize, all right, as a parent, this is my chance. This is my chance to get my kid to Jesus. And so they cautiously walk their kids up to meet Jesus. That's one way it could have gone down. The other way it could have gone down is that the kids have heard about Jesus. Jesus was a wildly popular guy. Maybe they heard about him from other kids in their neighborhood. Maybe they heard about him from eavesdropping on their parents talking. But either way, they knew who Jesus was. And so the whole way there, the kids are like, Mom, Dad, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to ask Jesus something. I want to talk to Jesus. Mom, Dad, can we go see Jesus? Hey, how close can we get to Jesus? Mom, Dad, let's go see Jesus right now. Let's get up to the front row, Mom and Dad. I want to be up on the front row to see Jesus. I really, really want to meet Jesus. Let's go see Jesus. And they pull their parents through the crowd. And they get up to the front row. And these kids are like dragging their parents to Jesus. That's kind of how I imagine this going down. Instead of this very stoic, the children were brought to Jesus. But either way, no matter how it happened, these kids are brought to Jesus, and the disciples are like, no, get away. Jesus is much too busy to mess with little kids that are totally beneath his social status. Like, they're just not important enough for you to bother with, so just go away. And Jesus does this incredible thing. He invites the kids to hang out with him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I've heard this in the past, I've pictured Jesus kind of hanging out with the kids, maybe sitting with them. But like, as I look at this with fresh eyes as an adult, like, I picture Jesus like playing with these kids and laughing and running and really asking them questions like, what do you care about? What are you excited for? What do you love about this life? What can I do for you? And here's the cool thing that I think that happens in this moment that I have so often missed, is that these kids were on a social status that was below Jesus. And Jesus said, even though you're below me, in the world's view, I want you to know that you're important. Even though the world thinks you are below me, I want you to know that you are heard. I want you to know that your feelings are valid. I want you to know that the things that you are dealing with, the things that you are facing, those are important to you and they're important to me. I want to know that I celebrate with the things that you celebrate, even if everybody else thinks it's silly. And I cry with you and I comfort you in the things that you think are hard, even when everybody else thinks you should just get over it. You see, that is true love. And Jesus did this incredible thing so often. He found people that, according to the world, were in a lower status and culturally meant nothing, and he raised them up. And he said, listen, I know what the culture thinks about you, but I'm here to tell you that you can break free and be more than what the culture expects of you. You guys, think about this. How often do we experience moments with people that, according to the world's standards, are above us? And they don't treat us with love. They don't hear us. They don't listen. They tell us to get over it. They tell you that because you're a kid, the things that you think are important aren't really all that important because there's bigger stuff going on. Jesus would look at you and say, we've normalized that in the world, but that's not normal. That's not true love. And in every single relationship that you are a part of, you are worthy of true love. You are worthy of receiving true love from your teachers and your coaches and your authority figures. You are worthy of receiving true love from your parents. You are worthy of receiving true love from your siblings. You are worthy of receiving love from your bosses. From every single relationship that you are a part of, you are worthy of receiving true love. And it's dangerous when we start to normalize this idea that we deserve less than true love. It's dangerous to us when we normalize this idea that we deserve less than true love. And Jesus constantly said, no, up the game. You are worthy of so much more. You are worthy of true love. And so I want to encourage you guys that if we can begin, now I know that we can't go to everybody in our lives and say, hey, you're not treating me right. But here's what I do know. I do know that when people don't treat us with true love, we can say, I'm worthy of more. And there are going to be moments where we have options to step out of relationships that are not true love and into relationships that are true love. And I want us, myself included, to know that we are so worthy of true love that we are willing to step out of relationships that are not true loving the way that Jesus would have us loved and step into relationships that are full of true love. Because here's the truth. You are worthy of being respected, and you are worthy of being heard, and you are worthy of being valued. You are worthy of your opinion mattering. You are worthy of being treated with kindness. You are worthy of patience. You are worthy of true love. And so this week, I want you guys to just evaluate. Just evaluate your various relationships. See if you can notice some ways that people are treating others in a way that is not true love. And every time you see that, just remind yourself, I'm worthy of true love. That person is worthy of true love. Jesus said there is a better way to love. And I'm going to make sure that I love people that way and that I step into relationships as often as possible that are loving me in that way. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you so much for love. Thank you for relationships. God, I thank you for friendships and peer groups and God, just all the different relationships that you've given us. And sometimes it can be hard to step into relationships that are truly loving. And it can be hard to step out of relationships that aren't loving us the way that they should. But God, I pray that the people in this room would normalize true love in their lives. And God, that they would have the courage to step into relationships that treat them the way that you would have them be treated. In Jesus' name, amen.